Well, you man, let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight. If you would, please, let's go to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel, chapter number 14. There'll be some other places we're going to go this evening just to kind of make you aware of that. But I'm going to draw our first thought out of Ezekiel, chapter number 14, verses 4 and 5. Been holding this church up in prayer, often do anyways, but I mean, especially since the recent vandalism. This church has a history of that, which goes back probably 20 years. It's just a lightning rod for that type of activity, which is unfortunate today. Ezekiel chapter number 14, verses 4 and 5. You found that. Let's go ahead and please stand tonight if you would, if you're able, or if you want to, and you're not rebellious and ornery and cantankerous. That divided the sheep from the goats right there. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse number 4. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the stumbling block of iniquity. We're going to see something about our great God that perhaps we haven't quite picked up on before. And let's have a word of prayer as we get started. Heavenly Father, we'd ask for your help tonight. It's a Wednesday night. It's a prayer meeting night. We open up this blessed book full of eternal truths. We're going to visit one more again this evening. I ask, Lord, you give us minds to receive and a pliable heart and understanding. Spirit of God, just have your way in the service here this evening. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. We go and be seated here tonight. There are entire messages that may be preached on the topic of stumbling blocks, but tonight I want to address an attribute of God as revealed in this passage and similar passages. And as I was reading my Bible this last week, this kind of stood out to me, first time that I had really noticed it here in the book of Ezekiel. But you ever wonder why some religious people just are cemented to their false systems? I mean, they're just stuck. You just can't reason with them. And sometimes I've just kind of marveled at how blind they actually are. And I know we could run to New Testament, you know, the God of this world has blinded their minds. I mean, I understand that. I get that. But one argument that I've heard verbatim from some people is that their prayers have been answered. Therefore, they know that their religious system is correct. Otherwise, how would my prayers be answered? You know, whether it's the health and wealth popular personalities of today like Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland, Pat Robertson, Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, Rick Warren, or Joyce Meyer, not to name any names. But, you know, they've got to be right because their prayers are answered. You know, they ask for $1,000 and the $1,000 check comes in. They rebuke the demon of disease on somebody and it seems like their health improves. I mean, evidentiary, if you looked at it, you say, yes, you know, it's their prayers got answered. I mean, I'd like to pray for $1,000 and all of a sudden it shows up as a check in the mailbox. Amen. I take that as, you know, this is seconding my belief system. And so, and I've heard the same thing from cults, you know, like Roman Catholics. I've talked to some of them, and they, you know, their prayers have been answered. They've prayed to the Virgin Mary, they prayed to the patron saint, or they prayed to, you know, the Pope or somebody, whoever they prayed to. You know, they went around the rosary, and they had prayers answered. Therefore, they know Roman Catholicism is legit. Mormonisms. I've talked to Mormons in the past, and you know, they're Brigham Young and all their false teachings that they embrace. I mean, they've had answers to prayer. Jehovah's Witnesses. I've talked to some of them. You know, they've had answers to prayer. Islams. I have not talked to any of them. I just haven't bumped into them. Amen. But I'm sure they would echo the same thing. Well, you know, Muhammad answered my prayers. I prayed to Muhammad, and Muhammad answered my prayer, and I got a free camel. You know, I'm sure that there would be something there that would second in their mind, my system has to be correct because I asked and I received what I asked for. And so it may, you know, it may even be the non-denominational camp. You know, they preach a hipster Jesus. You know, you can keep your sins and still have a free pass to heaven. You know, that type of a false gospel that they preach. They can give answers as testimonies to prayer, and they can speak in an unknown tongue, and they can praise God however they do it. You know, and these type of answers only strengthen their belief. I've got to be right. God answers my prayers, and they'll use the name of God, or they'll use some name that they'll address. You know, Saint Christopher kept me safe as I was driving down the road, and just all these things. And so I've heard these things over time, and I'm sure you have too. Okay, and so we look at it and we say, well, these types of answers only strengthens them. So how should we respond? You know, what should be our biblical belief concerning what they are telling us? Well, I have an answer for you. And it's found in Ezekiel here tonight, in Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 4 and 5, those two verses. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of iniquity before his face. Now that's bad. It's bad enough if you're living in Judah, which was the land where God was and where the temple was, and you're setting up idols on every mountaintop and on every tree, and you're burning incense and you're praying and doing all these things. He says, they set up idols in their heart, and they put the stumbling block of iniquity before his face. I, the Lord, will answer him. God says, I'm going to answer his prayer. And don't miss this, because I spent all day working on this, and I hate to see you miss it, all right? God says, you're going to pray to your false image, your false God, and you're going to offer incense worship, and you're going to bake cakes, and you're going to do whatever you're going to do. And God says, I'm going to answer that prayer. Why would God do something like that? It just shows you how little we know of our God. When God puts it in black and white, and I've been a student of the Word of God for many, many years, and all of a sudden I read this, I say, you know, I didn't know that before. I just didn't stub my toe on this before. I just didn't realize it before. God says, look, you're going to pray to these false gods, these false images, these false idols. You're going to be involved in iniquity, and they were. I mean, you name the sin, they were involved in it. God says, I'm going to answer their prayer. Why would they do that? They may have prayed, you know, like the non-denominational crowd. They may pray to a non-judging, all-loving, wimpy, long-haired, tattooed, covered, all-emotional hipster Jesus after listening to 30 minutes of bump and sway music. And they say, you know, God says, I answered them. And we're sitting over here, the godly little remnant, and we're scratching by. And we're sticking with our King James Bible and our conservative music and our gospel that's based upon repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're just out here by ourselves, and they're just bragging about Jesus, all these answers of prayer. How come their answer? And God says, I answered their prayer. That non-denominational hipster Jesus crowd out there, you know, with the long hair and the tattoos and the face jewelry and all that stuff, and they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. God says, I answered their prayer. I answered it. I answered that Mormon's prayer, that JW's prayer, that Catholic's prayer, that Mohammedan's prayer. I answered their prayer. And you just go down through the list, that charismatic you know, speaking in tongues and all that. I answered their prayer. I did that. Now don't miss it. This is God saying. God says, I'm going to answer them. I will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. You can pray to Tammuz, you can pray to Baal, you can pray to this god, you can pray to that false god, and man, they had plenty of them there in the land. That's why they were no longer in the land. Ezekiel, over by the river Chebar, he was led away in one of the first captivities there. And God says, it doesn't matter which false god you pray to, which mountain you climb up, which incense you burn, and which candle you light, and all these, you worship the sun coming up, and you worship the moon coming up, and it doesn't matter which one, you pray to any and all of them, and I'm going to answer your prayer. God said that. Didn't he just say that? He says, I will answer him. God says, I'm going to answer him. And so they may have prayed to the dead, or they may have offered their incense while practicing some type of witchcraft, and that was prevalent in the land as well. And whatever answer they were seeking, God says, I'm going to answer them. But why would he do that? Well, verse 5 kind of tells us that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. God says, look, now here's the baseline. God says, if you are committed to your false religion, your false idols, your false system, in spite of Ezekiel preaching to you, Jeremiah was his contemporary, in spite of Jeremiah preaching to you, in spite of this long lineage of prophets that I have sent, if you are that committed to your idols, I'm going to double cement you to it, that I might remove you out of the land.
Wow.
God says, I'm going to answer that prayer, and you're going to think it's Baal. You're going to think it's Tammuz. You're going to think it's the Queen of Heaven. You're going to think it's the sun. You're going to think it's the moon. You're going to think it's a totem pole. God says, I'm going to do that so you might be double damned in that false religious system. So the Mormon comes up and says, you know, I prayed my Mormon religion. It's got to be right because I had an answer to prayer. That could just be God saying, I'm going to answer that prayer because you would not listen to me. So I'm going to double harden your heart in this. The Jehovah's Witnesses comes up and says, you know, they're down the Winds of Fair and they're passing out their tracts and they're trying to win people, and they may get testimony how God answers their prayer. God says, yeah, I'm going to answer the prayer. According to the stumbling block of iniquity, you're going to fall over this answer to prayer. You're going to attribute it to your religious system. God says, no, I answered it so that you might be hardened even more in that false religious system, because you would not turn to the truth. That is a scary concept. And God put it right there in the writings of Ezekiel. I've been stumbling over it for years. And just God brought it out to me. Go to Exodus chapter number 7. Let me illustrate this for a little bit if I can. Some of you thinking I may be going a little bit astray. And I assure you that I'm not. But don't take my word for it. Let's take God's word for it. Go to Exodus chapter number 7, verse number 22. Of course, we know what's going on here. This is Moses and Aaron going before Pharaoh and doing the miracles there in the land. And Pharaoh's not getting too happy about all what's going on there. And so we see something here in a process type of a way. In Exodus chapter 7, verse number 22, it says, the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. So Pharaoh here is hardening his heart. He saw the miracle, and he basically goes fooey. And he just manifests a stumbling block of iniquity. He's not giving credit to the God of heaven. He's just saying, this is just, you know, my magicians can do this. He hardened his heart. Go to chapter number 8, verse number 15. Exodus chapter 8, verse number 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. And so God brings back the next miracle and confronting Pharaoh, and Pharaoh hardens his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. He is seeing evidence, he's seeing truth, he's seeing the miracle working power of Almighty Jehovah God, and he discounts it, so he, Pharaoh, hardens his heart. Chapter number 8, verse number 32. Verse number 32. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. And so we see this cycle. Miracle, Pharaoh hardens his heart. Miracle, Pharaoh hardens his heart. Miracle, Pharaoh hardens his heart. Now, God says, enough of that. Enough. I've had enough. Go to chapter number 9, verse number 12. Another miracle comes by, the boils. Verse number 12, Pharaoh's not giving any credit, glory to God. Verse number 12 of Exodus chapter number 9. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Now you may not get this, but there is a line in the sand somewhere where God says, all right, here comes truth, and you shake it off. And his mercy, his grace, his long-suffering, here comes truth, and you shake it off. Somewhere along the line, that can only happen so many times, and then God steps in and says, I'll harden Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh doesn't have a vote in this anymore. This is the almighty power of a sovereign God saying, I'm going to harden his heart. Ruh-roh. Go to chapter number 10, verse number 1. Exodus 10, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants. So there's an extension going on. It's just not Muhammad anymore. It's Muhammad and all his little Muhammadans. It's not just Joseph Smith and Brigham Young anymore. It's all the class of Mormonism. It's not just Charles Taze Russell anymore. It is all the Russellites, the Jehovah Witnesses now. It's not just the false prosperity, wealth, and health gospel preachers like Joel Osteen down in Houston, Texas, or Creflo Dollar flying around on his million-dollar jet. He says it's all of them now. It's not just the puppet master, but it's all his servants as well. And it reaches all the way to Maine. And God says, look, if you're not going to listen to me, not only am I going to blind you and harden your heart, I'm also going to turn around and harden the hearts of your servants who all pay lip service to you. It's a ripple effect. Chapter 10, verse number 20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Verse number 27. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Chapter number 14, verse number 8. You may be thinking you know what's going on here, and you'd be right. Chapter 14, verse number 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. This is the stumbling block of iniquity. This is God saying, I've had enough. This is God saying, my spirit shall not always strive with man as he did in the days of Noah. This is God saying, if you're going to continue in your blindness and your ignorance, then I'm going to make sure you are permanently blind and ignorant. Yes, sir. And that is an attribute of God. Just as much as the attribute of mercy and grace and love and kindness and all those things are attributed to our great God, this is also one of his attributes. So the next time the Mormon comes up to you and say, well, I had a great answer to prayer, blah, 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 blah. In the back of your head, you ought to be going, yeah, I know who answered that one. And I know why. It's not just an answer to prayer. We all look for answers to prayer, and hopefully we get answers to prayer. But when it's a false religious system, you ought to know the reason why they're getting an answer to prayer. God says, I answer them. That's me. I did that. Now they are further buried and entrenched in that false system because they would not respond to the light. I'm going to make sure their darkness is ever darker than they could even imagine. I did that. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 44. As I mentioned earlier, Jeremiah was a contemporary of Ezekiel. He was older than Ezekiel. He had been in ministry much longer. As he was fading out, so to speak, Ezekiel was coming forth. Ezekiel was taking the first Babylonian captivity and resettled along with those captives over there by the river Chebar, and they were slaves and servants of the Babylonians, but God was still speaking to his people, whereas Jeremiah was still in the land, and this is going up to just prior to him being enslaved by his own people and brought down to Egypt. So in Jeremiah chapter 44, we'll pick it up here in verse number 15. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, now this is what Jeremiah's been preaching to them now for years. They're still doing everything wrong. Verse 16. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. You talk about bold and brass and just galvanized in your false religious system. Verse 17. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. This is generational now. We've been offering up wafers to the wafer God. Roman Catholicism in miniature right here. And while we was doing that, boy, we had food and we had health and our husbands were with us and we were in the land, and it's the land of Judah and Jerusalem. Everything was going well. Well, guess who was answering their prayers? I'll guarantee you this, it wasn't some queen, fake queen up in heaven that they offered up a wafer or a cookie to and poured out some type of drink offering to and burned some type of incense to. It wasn't her, it was him. Why? Because they already said it from the lips of their own mouth. We're not going to listen to you, Jeremiah. In other words, just thumbing their nose at the word of God through the man of God. And God says, okay. Okay. Stumbling block of iniquity. If you're so ingrained in your false religious system, your iniquity, then it's going to be a stumbling block. And the only place that you go after hitting a stumbling block is down, down, down. God said, I'm going to seal the deal here. And so they continued in their false religious system. And then we bump into Ezekiel, and here they are captives in a foreign land, forced labor there beside the river. And they're so stuck with this thing, they're not even listening to Ezekiel. It'll be 70 years before they get back in the land. 70 years. And there's a reason for that too. I don't have time to develop tonight. But it'll be 70 years before they get back in the land. But only after they come to a repentant heart and get right with God. Jeremiah, once he's led away, he'll never see the land again. But so we kind of see this mindset. Verse 18, let's just kind of finish fleshing this out, and then we'll go on to a New Testament passage. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, that's Dolly Parton, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. When we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? In other words, we was doing all this to the Queen of Heaven. We had our men, our husbands were by. They weren't killed by the sword or slain or died of famine and all that. Everything was going good. Jeremiah. Who is Jehovah God that we should worship him? That we should be obedient to his word from your mouth? We got this figured out. We had answers to prayer when we offered those cakes and those drink offerings. And Ezekiel tells us that God says, I did that. I answered those prayers. And it was a stumbling block. And you're going down. And if you want to believe this false religious system, then you're going to continue to believe this false religious system. And I'm going to make sure of it. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here is a New Testament parallel. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. This is end time events. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. We understand that's last time, part of the tribulation, there, that. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. There's the stumbling block of iniquity. They're following the Pied Piper of the Antichrist. They're believing everything that they say. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. They're just attributing to him all glory and all praise. But notice why. Verse number 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wait a minute, you think this is all Satan's doing? This is all the Antichrist? Oh, he's so suave, he's so debonair, he's got such charisma. He's wooing and winning the national leaders and the populace. This is all Satan. He's just charismatic to the nth degree. People just loving him. Wait a minute. Even the devil is God's devil. God says they're going to believe him because I'm going to send them a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. We are living in an age of intellectual stupidity. Climate change is going to kill us all in 100 years. And the same people that are telling us that cannot accurately predict or forecast the weather for this weekend. That is intellectual stupidity. You can kill a baby up till the day of birth, but do not disturb the nest of an eagle. That is intellectual stupidity. Girls can be boys and boys can be girls. That is intellectual stupidity. Get your COVID shot to prevent contracting COVID while those with the shots and multiple boosters have COVID. And many have died from myocarditis, and now cancer numbers are going through the roof. Intellectual stupidity. We cannot shut down our border, but we can send $1 trillion to Ukraine to shut down their border with Russia. Intellectual stupidity. You ever step back for a minute and wonder how so many people can be so dumb? And that's dumb with a capital D, which is also the first letter of Democrat. So, I mean, it's just dumb. It's not all just the propaganda mill that we call news. It's not all that. It is someone more. If you pull back the curtain just a whisker, you'll find the hand of God behind this. If you will print "In God We Trust" on your coinage, but you won't go to church on a Sunday and you won't open up a Bible Monday through Saturday, God says, okay, stumbling block of iniquity, I know how to take care of that. Intellectual stupidity. And just make it widespread. I can see the hand of God. You can call it the judgment of God if you want to. I'd be in agreement with that. I can see the hand of God. How can so many people be so dumb for so long? It just cannot be because it's 24/7 pablum that's monitored and we call it news. It has to be something more because it's so widespread. It is something more. It's someone more. It is the sovereign God of heaven saying, I've had enough. And I'm going to put out that delusion. And people are going to believe these lies. It's already forecasted for the tribulation period. After the rapture happens, there's going to be a strong delusion. That's going to be by the hand of God. We saw that already in the New Testament. He kind of setting the stage now. How can you have a guy that belongs in a nursing home settled in the White House? Nothing against nursing homes. They're needed, amen. If your cognitive powers does not, your IQ does not match your shoe size, you need to be somewhere. And yet he's the leader of the free world. How does that happen? Do you see a thumbprint? The thumbprint of God. You know, God is in the hardening business. We saw that in the Old Testament. God's in the delusion business. We see that in the New Testament. God is in the confound the wise business. We read that in Philippians. If you will not embrace the truth, then God will make sure you embrace a lie. God's nobody's fool. He's nobody's fool. You do not get to treat God less than the sovereign, majestic creator that he is. You do not get to be casual about the truth. Dismissive, discounted. It's equal with everybody else's truth. You do not get to treat the creator of this world like that and think for a moment you're going to get away with it.
Amen.
And God is long-suffering. Thank God that he is, because some of us were steeped in that mess. But you do not get to show a lack of reverence and be dismissive with God while pandering to your materialistic desires without God saying, finally, enough is enough. And you will no longer harden your heart. It won't be you doing it. It'll be God doing it. And when God does it, it'll be permanent. Pharaoh never had another chance after God hardened his heart.
Nope.
Genesis, all the way back there. Whatever you find in the book of Genesis, you can map that line out all the way through the book of Revelation. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Nor man's day is going to be 120 years. So we take that, nor preach for 120 years. Peter tells us he was a preacher of righteousness. Not a preacher of non-judgmental and loving and all-encompassing, universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. That wasn't Nor. Nor says he was a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, and boy, he built a massive ministry. He was on the cover of everybody's religious magazine as somebody to avoid. He had 8 converts. 8. 120 years. Imagine your pastor. Well, I can't imagine being over 120 years old. I mean, that'd be pretty scary looking right there. But imagine him preaching Palermo for 120 years. He gets up here on a Sunday morning, and he has eight people, including himself, in the building. That was Noah. And God says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Remnant. Remnant. Straight and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Oh, the devil's blinded their minds that they can see, cannot see. It's not just the devil. It's not just because of old sooty face. It's also God saying, I've had enough. Even as born-again saints of God, we're not involved in the stumbling block of iniquity as we saw in Ezekiel's day and Jeremiah's day. But in the book of Philippians, it tells us, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with
fear and trembling.
Fear and trembling.
Yeah.
If anybody ought to fear God, it ought to be us.
Amen.
I'm not talking about biting your nails to the nubs and just fretful night's sleep. But I'm talking there ought to be a deep reverential awe about God. If we don't have it, it's for certain they don't have it. We should not take his holiness very we need to take his holiness seriously. We should not wink at sin. It should show in our inward attitude with a humble submissiveness, and our outward attitude as obedience to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Let us not be guilty of the stumbling block of iniquity. Mm-hmm. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Many, many truths, Father, in this blessed book. Lord, maybe this is an answer to someone. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight as your Christian people to stay strong in this day and this hour in spite of the mighty headwinds that are out there. Help us be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you.